This is a Clearview Original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. David, how's your immune system lately?
Honestly, it's in critical condition.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. What if I told you that similar to our immune systems, which produce more antibodies when under attack, the muscadine grape also produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when under stress from the environment it grows in, which leads to a whole host of health benefits.
I might just gobble them up like Tic Tacs.
Well, my friend, MightyMuscadine.com has everything you could ever need to take your health game to the next level. All their products are gluten-free, trans-fat-free, non-GMO, dairy-free, and best of all, they actually taste delicious.
I had some of their protein powder just this morning, and it is delicious.
I know that's right.
Their grape juice, delicious.
Tell it.
Their antioxidant beverages, delicious. Their shampoo, their body lotion, all delicious.
What?
And I'll tell you something else. Mighty Muscadine believes in protecting God's great earth for generations to come. That's why their farming and production is environmentally friendly, and they make every effort to protect and preserve without the use of pesticides and herbicides.
You ate shampoo, though.
The only problem is I'm a little short on funds.
Well, fret no more, my friend. You can visit MightyMuscadine.com right now and use the promo code TODAY. That's T-O-D-A-Y to unlock exclusive savings at checkout. Again, that's promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to enjoy a significant discount on your purchase of Mighty Muscadine products. And listen, every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps support us here at the Clearview Today Show.
Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com and experience the difference firsthand. Remember, that promo code is TODAY, T-O-D-A-Y.
Welcome to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you can find our show online by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, write in and let us know at 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And we want you guys to help us keep the conversation moving forward. You can do that by supporting the show. And you can do that by sharing it online with your friends and your family, leaving us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links in the description so you can do just that. And of course, today is April 5th. Which means our date the word is coming to us from Proverbs 4:5. This is an imperative. It says, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth.
Wisdom is not something that you are born with.
Right, that's right.
It is not something that is natural to you. It's something that you have to develop. But like Solomon is writing here in Proverbs, it is something that we are capable of attaining.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like, well, I'm not a very wise person or I don't have a lot of understanding. Get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you said, John, this is an imperative. It's a command from Solomon to get wisdom. And if that's coming from the wisest person other than Jesus who ever walked the earth, you probably ought to listen.
And you're not going to get wisdom just by making the right decisions or just by learning from failure or by watching, David Goggins or Jordan Peterson and all these other guys on YouTube shorts. You're going to get wisdom by asking God for it.
Yep.
That's what Solomon did. He said, God, give me wisdom. If I could have one thing in this life, I want wisdom, true biblical wisdom that comes from God. And you have to ask for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just, and again, it's not just read the Bible more and start learning things. You have to be in prayer. You have to be constantly talking to the Father and asking him for that wisdom. And
That's right.
Gives it to you. He's faithful to do that.
That's right.
Just want to remind you guys, this episode, just like all the others, is brought to you in part by the Date the Word app. That's where all these verses are coming from. You can download it for free right now on iPhone and Android. Every single day connects today's date to God's Word with the hope of making it more memorable for you. All right, Ryan. It's Friday.
It is.
You know what that means. I'm gonna pose this question to you. I actually got this. This is a question I got from somewhere else. I heard this on another show.
Okay.
But I'm gonna improve it just a little bit.
Sure.
You're gonna get $1 million, right?
And I love that.
You can buy whatever you want with $1 million. But every time you get a business card from somebody, not only do you have to keep it for the rest of your life, you have to follow up with them every month.
All right, so let me ask one clarifying question,
yes.
And then I'm going to give you my answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Do I have to be the person to follow up with
them,
or can I hire someone to do that for me?
I will say you can hire someone, sure. They have to follow up. And when I mean follow up, I don't mean you have to buy into their business. You just have to call them and remind them we're not interested at this time.
Right.
But like let's say you get, I mean, how many business cards do you think you get in a month?
In a month?
Yeah. Maybe two or three?
No, I would say probably five or six.
Okay. So you get five or six in January. February, you got to call those. You got to keep those cards for the rest of your life. You don't have to keep them in your wallet, okay. But you got to make sure at any point you can get your hands on them.
Sure.
You can put them in a box or whatever. So you, at February, right, you got to call those five or six and be like, hey, this is Ryan Hill. Just following up. I know we met last month in January. We're not interested in this time. Then during February, let's say you get five or six more.
Yeah.
Now, March, you got to call those 12 people and be like, hey, I know we talked last month, but I just want to remind you I'm not interested.
So it just continually compounds.
But yes. What happens when you go to NRB?
Well, okay, so that was my question, because if I can hire someone or someones to do this for me, no problem. I can do that. However, at NRB, we got hundreds, if not thousands, of business cards.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm not exaggerating.
Oh, yeah. No, so he's right.
That would be the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I would not have time for a family. I would not have time for a career. I would not have time for anything else. I'm just following up with people.
You can hire people to do it. But I mean, think about it. You're running a small business on the side just to tell people, just to follow up with business card people to tell them that you're still not interested.
I'd probably still take that.
Yeah.
I'd probably still
take
that.
I mean, that's
I would take it as long as I could sustain it, but I fear that after
it's locked in. Like, you got to keep those cards.
A couple times attending NRB, though, I feel like even the people I hire aren't going to be able to keep up.
The original question was, you just got to keep the card, but I was like, you just put it in a box.
Yeah, that's fine.
I got that from another show. So I was like, you have to follow up with them every month, because you can't just get $1 million just to store business cards. But having to follow up every month?
I would certainly attempt.
I just think it's really funny where it's like,
hey, we're still no longer interested.
It's like, I know, I've talked to you every month. Why do you keep calling me to tell me that? It's like,
hey,
I just
wanted to update you. We are continually no longer interested.
Right, of course. And,
and we will not be next month.
Yes, I don't believe we'll be running your ads on the Clearview Today show. That being said, I will call you next month. Talk to you soon. It's like, no, you don't have to call back here.
Would you take that?
Yeah, I would take it.
I feel like I would take it. I don't know how long I could sustain it, but I feel like I would take it.
NRB would become a nightmare. I'm not going to lie. That would be like, man, I just got a bunch more work. Or my interns just got a bunch more work.
Hate that for them.
When my son's old enough, I just might have him start doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Gavin.
Let him run daddy's disappointing business card empire.
Oh, poor Gavin. His career is mapped out for him.
Yeah.
I wonder if Dr. Shaw would take that. I want to pose that to him.
Oh,
he gets more cards than we do.
He would take it. Yeah, he would have David. He would have David be following up every month.
Follow it up. David's just making phone calls 24/7.
Yeah, just to let him know we're not going to go for it.
If you would take that deal, write in and let us know. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
Hey. Hey, you.
Me?
No, not you. You, listening to the Clearview Today show. You're here right now because you love Christian talk radio, and I'm 100% down for that. But what if I told you that Clearview Church also produces original music?
That's right. At Clearview, we're more than just a church. We're a vibrant family where everyone is encouraged to worship God right where they are.
We wanted to make sure that your worship doesn't stop when you walk out the door on Sunday morning.
Our music is more accessible than ever. You can worship God in any situation, in the car, at home, in the gym, while cleaning your house. Wherever you are, we'll be right there with you.
You can check us out on Apple Music or on Spotify, anywhere digital music is consumed. We got a few singles out right now. We have an EP out as well. And right now, at this moment, actually, we are working on our first ever full-length original album. Hopefully that's going to be out sometime this coming summer.
Clearview Worship on iTunes and Spotify is your 24/7 place for inspiration and worship. Follow us today and let God's message of hope, love, and faith be a guiding light in your life.
Amen. Let's hop back into the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we are here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. Dr. Shah, I'm going to give you $1 million, my friend, but anytime someone hands you a business card, you have to keep that card for the rest of your life, and you have to follow up with them every single month.
I do keep the cards.
You keep all the business cards?
There are some that I've thrown away.
Right.
But see, I come from the era of Rolodex.
Like, I was going to say, like the Rolodex where you organize them. And
yeah. I used to have a Rolodex.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Was it useful? Did you use it?
Oh yeah, a lot.
I can't help but think of the Office episode where Michael has a Rolodex and it's color coded.
My dad had one. Being in sales,
yeah,
he had one on his desk, and I would go.
That was considered to be like, okay, you're on top of things, Rolodex guy.
Yeah. So, but also to get the million, you have to follow up with those business card people every month. So let's say you get 10 business cards in a month, you have to follow up with them the following month, even if you're not interested. You have to be like, hey, just wanted to let you know I'm still.
And how much
interested.
Do I get?
A million. You can hire someone to do it for you.
Yeah, I'll do it.
You do it?
Yeah, I'll do it.
I figured you
would. That's what we said.
I'll just share the gospel with them.
There you go.
It's like,
there
hey, verse for the day, and just give it to them.
I'm no longer interested in your services, but just want to remind you that Jesus
verse for the
loves
day.
You just take a day. You just take a day, and that's your like call up all the business people. Even if you leave a voicemail, I figure that counts.
Yeah,
the only thing David brought up was NRB would be an absolute nightmare.
That's
like you got to keep those business cards.
Yeah,
Dr. Shaw, in light of our conversation that we're going to have today, what is the daily encouragement you want to leave with our listeners and our viewers today?
I would say, plug into a Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not in one, please get into a Sunday school. You say, what if my church doesn't have one? Well, start one.
That's right.
Yeah. Talk to the pastor and see. Maybe he'll start teaching if he has time and if he's able to, that he will teach and then get the class started. Mm-hmm. And then maybe somebody else who is biblically minded, spiritually mature, a student of the word, they may consider teaching that class.
Yeah. It seems like in today's day and age, the preacher, the worship, all of the lights, the videos, the screens, all that stuff is like center stage. And Sunday school is there. Like it exists, but it's tucked away in the back of the church. Does it feel like that to you guys?
In some places, Sunday school is just, that model is just done away with.
Yeah.
I mean, churches have moved, and you got to do what fits your context, but some churches have moved entirely away from a Sunday school type model and gone more of a small groups model.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Because I mean, you see, like, you see big, big productions in churches, and you see, like, the like I said, just the polish.
Yeah,
everything is nice. The worship is on point. The preaching is fire. But I'd never hear about their Sunday schools. And and if you ask them, I'm sure they'll say, yeah, they exist. They're here.
Yeah,
which don't talk about.
They're on a flagship.
Yeah,
yeah. They used to be very important, even in Southern Baptist life, and I think they still are in some churches, but not where they need to be.
Right.
And I'm hoping that they will come back because they are vital in the life of the church.
Right.
I don't care if we're in 2024. Sometimes people think, oh, they just think of the things of the past. Well, they said that about Vacation Bible School.
True. Mm-hmm.
They've said that about children's ministry. Mm-hmm. They've said that about so many things that are out of date.
Right.
And they have
still around.
Yeah.
Some years ago, people were even saying that churches will not meet anymore.
That's true. Yeah, I remember that.
Remember that? It's like this is the new revolution, and books were sold and courses were advertised. You know, sign up for this course. You need to be on the cutting edge. And I can even see that author's name. I'm not going to mention it, but it's like you do know Jesus said that
the gates of Hades will not
prevail against it.
Right.
My church will remain.
That's right.
So you're telling me the church is going to be gone? No, it's just going to be underground. Everybody's going to meet.
Why do you sound excited about that? Why do you sound excited?
Because I'm sure he had a curriculum that he wanted to sell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The new underground church model.
Yeah. Yes.
Only $299 for the year.
Yeah. Four low payments.
Or you could subscribe for $199.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if everybody signs up for my program, I'll be a billionaire.
That sounds good.
Right.
I'll have reshaped Christianity in my image.
Yeah.
We're talking about Sunday school today, especially because today is the anniversary of Robert Raikes. Mm-hmm. It was the day that he passed away in 1811. He wasn't the inventor of Sunday school, but he was credited as kind of like getting it far and wide, spreading the word about the importance of Sunday school.
That's right. I'll be honest. I mean, I didn't know anything about Robert Raikes until I went to seminary.
Right. Yeah.
And then in my Christian education class, they kept talking about Robert Raikes, and then they talked about Arthur Flake. And, of course, at the time, the person who was really promoting Sunday school at the time, this is in the mid-90s, was Ken Hemphill, who is still living. He is he was the president of Southwestern for a while, and then he held a lot of different positions. And he wrote a book called Revitalizing the Sunday Morning Dinosaur.
Wow. Mm.
And so, actually, check this book out and read it. This book is something I found in a book sale, but it helped me understand the importance of Sunday school. It began with being in a Southern Baptist church, But then I realized, okay, it's not just a Southern Baptist thing. Mm-hmm. It can really benefit a church.
Mm-hmm. Let's say there's someone listening right now, and this is like baby's first Christian steps for us. But yeah. Let's say there's someone listening right now. They have genuinely no clue what Sunday school is, which really may not be that far off from
the That's true. That may not be that far-fetched.
What is Sunday school? This is the portion of Sunday morning after, I guess, the first service.
Or it's some churches is before the first service.
True, yeah. True. Yeah. But that's where you go into literally a classroom.
Right.
And you basically take a class.
Right. And, okay, so in Southern Baptist life, Sunday school had a different purpose. Mm-hmm. Okay? It was not discipleship. Sunday school was supposed to be the evangelistic arm of the church.
Mm.
To get people from the outside, to get lost people into the church.
Into the church, they come to Sunday school. Uh-huh. In Sunday school, they get saved. In Sunday school, they hear the gospel on a basic level.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, see, what we have made it now is that Sunday school is like the teaching time where right. we're going deep. And this was not meant to be that way. This was that low-level biblical teaching with emphasis on evangelism.
See, I genuinely didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's what Sunday school is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But with the advent of small groups and discipleship groups and D groups, Sunday school have sort of become small groups.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that. That's fine. It's not a hill we're dying on for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that we have lost a very vital part of what Sunday school was supposed to be.
Yeah. That we have to make up in another area now. Because now we need evangelism ministries to make up for the fact that Sunday school isn't doing what it's designed to do.
Right. Evangelistic ministry in a small group setting.
Got you.
So that you can have evangelistic ministries like Trunk Treats
right.
or Fall Festival or Summer Splash. Right. You know, we do all these different activities to attract people
right.
and they come. Or we have a concert mm-hmm. or we have a play. We have a lot of avenues. Mm-hmm. Our church is sort of unusual in that way. We open a lot of doors to let people come in
right.
who are not saved or who are not churched, so mm-hmm. to speak, mm-hmm. so they can come and hear the gospel and get saved. But originally it was supposed to be invite your lost friends or unchurched friends to Sunday school.
With the hopes that they'll hear the gospel.
Right. Mm-hmm. They'll make some connections. They'll get to know people.
Right.
And of course, learn the Bible, but not necessarily go deep.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then invite them into the church service following or before the Sunday school hour.
Wow.
And that's where they will hear, that's where we will draw the net.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we will hear not only the gospel, but also deep things, because the pastor is considered to be the expert
mm-hmm.
in theology. He's mm-hmm. considered to be the expert in apologetics
mm-hmm.
or the deep questions you may have. He has those answers, but he'll also draw the net.
Right.
Now it's sort of upside down, where in many churches you have people who, again, I'm not opposed to that. It's great that people dig in and dig deep and are like, you know, their own personal theologians.
Right.
And that's fine. But it's almost like Sunday school has become the church service, where the pastor is now putting things on a low shelf.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday school time is where we go deep.
Right.
Only problem is, if those members are not properly trained or if they have their own bent in theology or their mm-hmm. favorite preacher they're following, sometime indiscriminately,
mm-hmm.
they'll bring all that stuff into the classroom
yeah.
unbeknownst to the pastor or the leadership or whoever.
And yeah. so now you have a subset of people within the church who are learning, even if it's not malevolent, they're learning a different theology
right.
that comes in conflict with what the pastor is teaching.
Or the theology of the church.
Right. Yeah. Or for the theology.
It becomes fractured, it becomes splintered, and there's a disunity that happens
yeah.
because what the pastor preaches is great, but I love my Sunday school class.
But I came across this Bible study from yeah. my friend they're doing in their church. We would love to do that here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, who is it? Oh, so-and-so. They don't believe like we do.
Right.
Right. And a lot of times,
but now they'll bring it in. So, didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. You're good.
They'll have theology like that doubts eternal security.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say.
That gets into baptismal regeneration.
Yeah,
And a lot of those people will fall into that trap of, but those are secondary issues. You know, right. Those are secondary and tertiary doctrines. So as long as we still, they're still proclaiming Christ overall.
Yeah.
But it's like we've talked about on this show, those secondary issues will, not if, but will.
Yeah.
Affect those primary doctrines.
Everything.
It's
everything
just weird down
believe,
the line.
Everything you believe is connected.
Right.
What you believe in one place is going to affect what you believe everywhere else. It's just a matter of how soon it does.
And that's not just in Christianity either. That's in life. Like all of your beliefs are eventually connected. And when you compromise in any area of life, it will eventually affect the other areas. Right. So also with Sunday school.
Right.
Was there something specific that contributed to this flip-flop of what Sunday school was designed to do?
Yeah, cell groups. Mm. The coming of cell groups. Cell groups developed in places like South Korea, in places overseas, where they needed to meet in smaller settings because the churches are so large. In places like Seoul, South Korea, I mean, if I'm not wrong, some of the largest churches are like 100,000 people.
Wow.
That's insane.
Yeah, how do you handle that?
Yeah.
My dad has been to some of those churches, you know, when he went to South Korea to preach. So he decided to go to this large, large church, and it was of a different denomination and all that, but that didn't matter. He went anyways. So how do you maintain those membership, those members? How do you connect with them? How do you care for them? Well, you have to get into small groups. You have to get into cell groups. So in cell groups, fellowship happens. In cell group, they go deeper. So that model sort of came into the West.
Right.
So where Sunday school was this evangelistic arm of the church, now it becomes a place where connections happen, where you go deep. And so it was like really odd.
Yeah. That's what I'm kind of wondering is if they thought they could kill two birds with one stone, because we need those cell groups, but we also have this time slot of Sunday school. We could just try to do both.
Yeah.
And then eventually one just takes over the other, I suppose.
Yeah. Mindset takes over.
Yeah.
We can still call it Sunday school, but it operates like a cell group, but not really, because cell groups are supposed to be meeting in each other's homes and inviting people.
But who has the time for that? We could just do it while we're all together here in the church.
Yeah, Sunday morning. Let's go ahead and knock it out.
Yeah. Because, you know, we haven't vacuumed the floor. We haven't washed the dog. We haven't done none of that. So let's just do it.
Our home is too small. It's not set up for that.
Yeah.
So here we have all the chairs and everything laid out.
We got to pay to feed all those people. You know, the church has donuts and coffee. Let's just do it there.
Yeah. So we have sort of twisted everything up. So now I think right now we're in a haze when it comes to Sunday school. Not quite sure what to do with this.
I feel that 100%.
I'm not saying if you're listening right now or watching, I'm not saying that your Sunday school necessarily is in a haze, but overall, the whole idea of Sunday school is sort of like not sure what to do with this.
Yeah. One of the things I love about our model of Sunday school is in order to combat that fractured identity, that fractured teaching, all of our Sunday schools use the same curriculum.
Yes.
Right.
We use the curriculum from Answers in Genesis, and it's wonderful to have all the Sunday schools on the same page. And the reason that we picked Answers in Genesis is because apologetics are a very big part of your messages, Dr. Shaw, and defending our faith and giving a reason for the hope that's in us. So every lesson is a chronological study of the events of the Bible, and every lesson goes back to an apologetics concept. Like, how do you use apologetics to defend what you believe about Jesus or about the Old Testament or about the Ice Age? The design there is that all the groups, no matter from the youngest to the oldest, are going to be learning the same thing so that as they go home, they can continue those conversations around their faith.
Well, the Sunday school program at Clearview is organized in such a way that we talk to our Sunday school leaders and we meet with them. And it turns out that was what they were most interested in. They wanted, because at the time you were doing your Contend series, it was apologetics and it was blowing up. And people in the community, people who didn't even go to church here, started coming because you were answering questions that they had that either weren't getting answered at their church or just, you know, weren't there was a need.
Yep.
That we want to know what happens after you die. What's the deal with this ice age? How does all this stuff about Cain work? Those questions were getting answered in the Contend series. So the Answers in Genesis series made sense. But then streamlining it to where every single Sunday school is on the same curriculum at the same week at the same time kind of minimized that problem that other churches were having back in the day where the theology was getting off or people were going rogue or, you know what I mean? They were bringing in other doctrines or whatever.
Or then you have somebody who is, and again, I hope I'm not mocking anybody. I hope you know my heart is in the right place. But you have somebody who loves to study the Bible, mm-hmm. and they just want to work through the Bible with you. Mm-hmm. And that's great.
Yeah.
And that's commendable, but then Sunday school becomes their Bible study.
Right.
Right.
And it's like J. Vernon McGee, but, you know, you're doing it.
Yeah.
Or I have several other people, you know, who have come to me and say, how about so-and-so? I love watching their videos from years ago. I say, yeah, they're good. Don't get me wrong. But did you know they also believe this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, I mean, you got to know.
Right.
It is so engaging. I was like, I know that.
Well, it also, I think it comes from a place where people don't want to put in the work or the prep for Sunday school, so they can easily just go buy something.
Yeah.
And people will happily sell you their Sunday school curriculum and make it look nice and polished. And it's got like the best well-dressed pastors or speakers, and they're in the videos, and they're just making points, and they're funny, and they're saying, but then you don't, you're almost either unknowing or you're willing to compromise on the doctrines that they're espousing because they're so small and subtle that either you just don't catch them or it's worth it to have this thing put together that I don't have to create.
Yeah. And some are good. Some are doctrinally sound. So we're not saying that everything out there is just full of garbage. There are some really, really good stuff. There's some really, really good stuff out there. But then there are times you go, can't go down that road.
How would you encourage churches? Because right now there is some church out there who is just saying, man, you know what? My Sunday school right now is a mess or just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
What is the encouragement you would give to them listening to the show?
The same encouragement I'm going to give myself today, which is go back and because, you know, when I was studying for today's lesson, I was thinking about it. It's like, I need to read this book again. It's a little dated, but I need to read it again. Mm-hmm. I need to read Revitalizing the Sunday Morning Dinosaur.
Mm.
Yes, there are things that are now passé, but then there are things that are very, very applicable and could very well fix the problem we're facing.
Yeah, that's true.
Another book, Arthur Flake's Building a Standard Sunday School. Some guy tried to buy this from me. He was like, I'll give you $50 for this book.
Wow.
Wow.
He was doing his master's in Christian education, and I used to go to this used book sale and bought it. And he's like, oh my goodness, you got Arthur Flake's Building a Standard Sunday School?
Is it out of print?
Oh, yeah. Yes, it's from 1922, but this one was reprinted in 1959.
Okay.
It's a rare copy.
Yeah.
So I was like, is it very important? He said, oh my goodness. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to keep it.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have said that to me.
Yeah, I would
have
given it to you.
I would have given it to you for free, but
since you built it up like, oh my goodness, you have that. But it's amazing. Arthur Flake, born in 1862, died in 1952. I mean, Southern Baptists used to swear by this. The chapters are amazing. Look, just listen to the chapter headings. The standard of excellence, its design, aim, and value.
Mm.
This is where he talks about what Sunday schools are supposed to do. Church relationship, enlargement, grading, Baptist literature, Bibles, preaching attendance. So you attend here, but then you attend there.
Mm. Wow.
Evangelism. So every person in the class, bring a friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just me telling people from the pulpit or you announcing, Ryan, at the end of the service, hey, bring your lost friends. It's people in that class telling each other,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring a friend. Yeah. Y'all really reach out to them, okay? They're kind of scared about this and that. Or this is the first time. Or they're new in the area. I'm going to bring them to the class. Immediately, you have 30 friends.
Mm-hmm.
Or if your Sunday school is small, 12 friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Meetings, equipment, records, training, stewardship, and missions. The offering that people took up in Sunday school was supposed to go to his mission.
Mm.
Wow.
But I mean, we're not doing that anymore.
Right.
We're just doing it
in the church service.
Church.
Yeah.
So church is supposed to be a tithes. Sunday school was supposed to be
for your missions.
Missions.
You know, it's kind of crazy that you said that book was written in 1922, 100 years later, and that model is still not only being used, but is very familiar with people who have no clue that book exists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, think about the impact that it had that 100 years after it was written, churches all across America and probably the world are using it. And I've never once heard of that book or Arthur.
Well, they're not using it like they're supposed to.
Well, true, yeah. True.
The people who know it know that there's a lot of wealth sitting right here. And some of it is dated. Mm-hmm. Some of it definitely is dated. But I think it can be brought back. We talked about our, Robert Raikes. He began Sunday school by reaching out to kids on the streets.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Like in slums and stuff like that?
Right.
Wow.
And by 1831, Sunday schools in Great Britain were teaching weekly 1,250,000 children.
That's amazing. If today was helpful for you, if you learned something about Sunday school today, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Every gift that you give goes not only to building up this radio show, but countless other ministries and Sunday schools for the kingdom of God. John, any encouragement you want to leave our listeners with this week?
I would say the exact same thing. Make sure you're in a Sunday school. Why don't you do this? Why don't you, when you're in your Sunday school, take notes, send those notes to us. We want to know what you guys are learning about in Sunday school. We want to know how God is working and moving in your church. Make sure you send that to 252-582-5028 so we can just see again how the impact that not only this show is having, but the impact that churches are having around the country. And we've got a full docket of programming next week lined up for you already.
That's right. Make sure you guys tune back in on Monday. Hope you have a wonderful weekend worshiping together with your church family. We love you guys. We'll see you Monday on Clearview Today.